Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
According to the National Resources Defense Council, there are 50 million acres of manicured lawns in America, and that takes an incredible amount of resources to maintain. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Hey, Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. So we're talking about lawns, sod, and alternatives. There's a growing no-mow trend. What about sod removal?
Sod removal is so challenging because it's labor intensive and the spoils are heavy and bulky. And oftentimes you can't just throw them away. You shouldn't throw it in a garbage can. And a lot of municipalities are not engaged in collecting soil debris. But the good news is there are many options to consider. And one is to cook it in place. So if you're going to remove some sod to build a vegetable garden or a landscape planting bed, you could mark that bed out on the ground with spray paint or a garden hose and mow the grass down as close as your mower will safely allow and set those clippings aside. And then cover this bed with some kind of tarp or black plastic or landscaping fabric, both of which you might be using to finish the landscape anyway. But what happens there is you've removed the above ground parts of the grass, blocking it from light, and the black collects heat from sunlight. So you're cooking it at the same time, blocking out the sunlight. It interrupts the plant's ability to grow in most cases. Sometimes if you lip the tarp up about a week later, you'll see all these white leggy growth that has tried to regrow, but keep it covered for a while. And then you're keeping your parent soils and all the organic matter. And I agree with your opener, Mike. Think about all the time and money and effort we've invested in our lawn. You want to keep every darn little piece of it, just like your paycheck.
Sure, sure. So I mentioned the resources. The NRDC says 3 trillion gallons of water a year, 200 million gallons of gasoline just for the mowing, and 70 million pounds of pesticides. If you get rid of some of that sod, you're using less of that if you're inclined to use it at all. Where's that 70 million pounds of pesticide end up besides on the turf, and what's the effect?
Some of it breaks down. Some of it's designed to be broken down over time, which means it's non-persistent, and the chemical breakdown is supposed to take place at that point. What doesn't always happen is it doesn't always break down because of misuse. Misuse by using too much in an area.
If a little bit's good, then more should be better, right? That's the attitude.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately, it's residential sites and private municipal sites, like say a nursing home, a resort, a hospital,
a golf course.
They have the best of intentions, I assure you. And having a pesticide license, you hear stories about individuals that have gotten into trouble with the overuse. That's what's ending up in our water and harming the living things in our environment.
So there are benefits to the environment: less water, less pesticide, less fuel used, less time to maintain the lawn. What about creating a better habitat? There can't be much about turf that animals or pollinators like.
Yeah, and turf has become like a tyranny, right? It's considered the first alternative in home ownership, right? And a lot of neighborhoods, if you wanted to have a lawn without turf, you may face some challenges. And I don't agree with that. I think if you're the landowner, you should be able to do what you want. And if you do a good job at it, it won't matter that you don't have turf. And, another thing about turf, Mike, is the intensive manicuring of it is oftentimes just over the top. It depends on what your goal is. If you're playing collegiate or professional sports on a field, I can understand. I think that makes perfect sense in the fairness and safety of play and also being durable underneath of all that play. But otherwise, I think a lot of money and time is wasted in that pursuit and could be better spent somewhere else.
So my attitude about turf has changed over the last 5 years, 10 years, I guess. I used to be one of those guys, right, that wanted the bright green lawn, deep green lawn, And at some point, I just had an epiphany. It's like, why am I using 10,000-year-old water from a glacier, from the Mahomet Aquifer, to keep my lawn alive in August?
What a soulful point of view. I love it.
It just didn't make any sense to me anymore. It's
hard to understand. But at the same time, it's a bit of a curse, because if you're surrounded by turf, it's helping you because the way it handles water. And a lot of times it's responsible for cleaning water, especially stuff that runs off of pavement. So it does have some usefulness, but as a monoculture crop, I think it is largely stylish.
So you mentioned one way to get started, which was, you know, scalp the lawn, black plastic. Before you do that, should you have a plan about what you're actually going to plant, or can you come up with that plan while the sod's actually dying under the plastic?
Well, you know, some artists can work spontaneously. Others, they need the plan. But I think you could build the bed that way and make sure that you had cleared the ground vegetation and that it was ready for planting, and then take the time to put together your design. But after that cover comes off, to prevent that grass from growing back right away, you need to finish the job. So if that option's not good for you, another thing to consider is scalp the sod, which can be done by hand, which is very difficult. Or you could rent a sod cutter, cut your sod, and just turn it over. Turn it over in place. Give yourself a 12-inch setback from the viewing edge of the planting area. So stay all the way away from the edge, all the way around it if it was a vegetable garden. But it will break down in place. You can plant right through it. You can cover it with plastic or rock or organic mulch. Either way, you know, that's a really effective way to, again, keep all your soil and your little piece of the world there and totally dodge the need to dispose of soil spoils.
I have a friend who recently removed a lot of sod. He completely landscaped his backyard, and removing it was a chore, and then actually hauling it away was a bigger chore. Wheelbarrow load after wheelbarrow load into a pickup truck, and then three pickup loads full of sod. I mean, it adds up quickly.
It is, and it's unpleasant work.
So you can just it was dirty and dusty and messy and grass all over, and it was a mess. So you're recommending that we actually repurpose the sod, either just turn it upside down, but you're also a proponent of actually building structures, some sort of infrastructure out of this leftover sod.
Well, yeah, and more specifically in the context of building a planting area, right? Whether you're sowing seed or planting live plants, your bed preparation is really an important part of the whole thing. By turning over those cut pieces of sod, you're creating some green manure that will break down. It won't burn anything. And you're going to create soil when you do plantings through this. And that soil is going to enable you to kind of smooth all this out so that it's ready for some kind of top dressing, one way or another. And planting beds and seed beds, they perform very well when they drain properly. And this is one way to make sure that it drains properly, by making it just slightly higher than the turf.
But you could build a berm out of this if you wanted to.
You could consolidate it all in one spot and make like a little earthen contour or a berm. Yeah, absolutely. You could, you know, plant shrubbery on that or turn it into more lawn space, either way.
If you have a vision for how high that berm should be, you might want to go a little higher, because I assume it will settle as the grass decomposes.
Yeah, and you know, that reminds me of a horticultural technique of Hugenkolter, and that's when you, in parallel lines, you stack your pruning debris. So whether it's the trunk of a tree, branches of a tree, they all kind of arranged in a parallel manner in the footprint of a spot that will ultimately be covered by sod and earth, and it'll break down in time and it will become flatter, but it's always going to have an elevation to it. And this is a very clever technique to use up some of your sod debris.
Okay, Murph, if you have questions about sod or transitioning your yard to more garden space, submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about homemade remedies. I assume you'll tell us what works and what doesn't, Murph.
I'm going to just give you a point of view.
Okay. That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.